When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Sometimes the world looks like you ain't ever seen it before. Stuck behind never-ending windows, all you need is a door. Searching for something to put a smile back on your face. Just remember, in unusual times, it can come from an unusual place. You need a partner for the ride, 'cause everybody needs a Clyde. So set your worries to the side. Just ask, say the word, and I'll be there. Just ask, you know the greatest things in life all come in a pair. They say hindsight's 20/20, but that ain't far enough. Pretend I got a hand I can lend, 'cause when you really need a friend, just ask. Shit 90 Shows taught me.
Shit 90 Shows taught me was not filmed before a live studio audience.
Are you ready to have a paint party and peel through 7 layers of wallpaper? So are we. Welcome back to Shit 90 Shows Taught Me. I'm Jess Sterling, here with my co-host, Sarah Ferguson. Sarah, how are you?
I'm ready for my painting party. You're going to come over, right, and paint my house, right?
I mean, are you around the block, or are you like the 11-hour drive?
Well, you know, some would say a true friend would say time is no limit or whatever.
Except some people aren't like in college with nothing to do.
These people should have stuff to do, but they don't.
They don't have like classes and other
options. I mean, there's maybe one class. I think that maybe one of them goes to one class each. They have
a
light schedule.
Elena's the only one attending classes, I think.
Yeah, but she was still ready to fuck around and then fuck with Tracy. Like,
I mean, because have you seen Tracy? Like, he's smart. He's going to become a doctor. Yeah. He's cute.
Yeah.
He's funny.
Yeah, he's a little, like, pro-life, but that's okay.
Oh, he is pro-life.
No, he wasn't. No, he said, you know, a right to choose, and you can choose to keep the baby.
Okay. Well, then there you go. That's fair.
That was that was an exaggeration. He was fair.
Yeah. But obviously we're talking season 2, episode 14, True Colors for Felicity, and big bombs being dropped this episode. Sarah, I didn't see this coming. Like, I know we talked about, like, how are they going to not have Nolan Ruby, like, have a baby on the show?
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, I hope they don't do the miscarriage story, but they might, because that is a real thing that a lot of people go through.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
And no, instead they're like, she fucked a producer, and that's whose baby it is.
Yeah. How do you feel about that?
Okay, so you obviously have a better memory than I do, but to my recollection and based on what people were saying, like the characters were saying on the show, they had sex like one time before she went to do this movie. They weren't exclusive at that time. Like, they were like,
I guess not, but they were certainly, they were certainly together. I would constitute it as cheating.
Okay. I mean, it really depends on like where you draw the lines. And I also think like in this day and age, it doesn't matter if you label it or don't label it as cheating. It's like how you feel about it, right? So, sure. Like, Noel obviously feels betrayed. And I think, and maybe I'm, like, giving Noel too much credit here, but I feel like his biggest problem with this situation is not necessarily that, like, she had sex with someone else, but that when they're going through this whole thing of like Ruby's pregnant and having to go to the doctor and all of that, she never said, hey, I slept with someone else.
Yeah.
And like, that's a big deal. That's where, at least that's where my mind would go, is like, I was terrified this whole time that I had a baby on the way, and now you're telling me you slept with someone else and never felt like you should mention that?
Well, because she kind of had Noel on the hook to help her throughout this situation. Like, she's not going to this rando producer and asking for the same sort of emotional, financial, or mental support as she's asking of Noel. So I think in Ruby's mind, like, and I don't know how like manipulative Ruby is. I know a lot of the times we just kind of be like, oh, Ruby's kind of fucking stupid. So maybe she can't count. I don't know. Maybe she doesn't know like exactly how timelines work. Mm-hmm. So like a part of me wants to give her the benefit of the doubt and be like, maybe she really did think it was Noel's baby. Like, maybe she just didn't math it. Like, maybe she wasn't sure. Like, maybe she thought that it was farther along than she realized, mm-hmm. or maybe like less so. So I'm not going to say that she like manipulatively deceived Noel, but there's a reality where she could have, and that really sucks. Can I confess something to you?
Yes, please.
As you know, I'm not very good at not spoiling myself. And I think I've known about this for like 2 months.
Ha! The audio didn't cut out. I couldn't. The thoughts weren't coming to my brain. Like, it was too much to like actually speak in that second. Okay, so let's back it up.
Yeah.
So let's make this a little bit clearer. you knew that one, Ruby was pregnant, or one and two, you knew Ruby was pregnant and it wasn't Noel's.
Yeah.
You knew both. Okay. So how is my question? Did you just Google Ruby and Noel? Like, what did you do? What were you doing? Why did you do this? Were you actively seeking spoilers? How did this happen? Explain it to me. I'm so upset and
I'm a bit of a chaos monster.
What's wrong with you? I think the number one answer is how dare you? Or number one question, how dare you? Number two, what's wrong with you? Number three, how did you do this?
I kind of just feel like I was Googling Ruby for whatever reason. And maybe it was like, oh, like when Ruby was like going away, I was like, oh, she like has to come back. So then I was just like looking to see if she would come back or something like that.
Oh, like she was doing her movie.
Yeah.
And she was gone for a few episodes.
Or maybe I was like, how long is Amy Smart? Now, I don't know anything beyond this, because this is like the thing. Like, once I find out that I like found something out that I'm not supposed to, I X out of it. And maybe this is like a good time for people. Maybe I just need to get things off my chest. And this is going to be our Dawson's Creek friends. I may have known for a while that Jen was going to die of the sickness.
Well, yeah, you already revealed that.
No, I didn't.
You didn't reveal this?
I revealed it to you after we finished the show.
That's, I was going to say, I knew this though, but how did I know this? Okay, so that's how I knew it.
Yeah. So I'm going to try to be better, because I'm, like I said, I'm a bit of a chaos monster. Blame my Aries moon. But this is all I know. I know nothing else. I promise. I scout's honor.
Okay. Well, I had no idea this was going to happen, because I'm not a chaos monster. And I, in fact, seek to avoid all spoilers all the time for every show I ever watch at all costs.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, okay. So Ruby is pregnant by this producer now, right? And so, like, let's dive into this. Like, we've said previously, we're now like kind of taking a little bit of a different approach, because we feel like it feels more natural to talk by like storyline versus in chronological order throughout the episode. So we're already talking about Noel and Ruby, so let's stay on them. Now, how do you think Noel handled all of this? Like, do you think is he a monster for being like, not my baby, not my problem?
No. So I kind of understand Noel's feelings here. And it's hard. It's like a really impossible situation because I am empathetic to and sympathetic to everybody involved. I'm angry at Noel for Ruby, for her, him initially being like, look, this is too much responsibility for me. I can't do this. Like, I was upset with Noel in that situation. But on Noel's side, it's like, that's like it's a really, really big thing. However, if you're going to have sex, then you have to deal with the possible consequences. So you can't just like evaporate yourself from Ruby's life. And then in terms of like, and then there was times where I was upset with Ruby because I felt like she was being dishonest towards Noel and wasn't like open and even asked Noel to still be with her, even if it wasn't her, his baby. So, and then like, finally, I don't blame Noel for being like, look, like I am so freaking relieved. Like a huge weight is lifted off my shoulder. Like, as a reminder, he's like, what, 21, 22? He's young. He has his entire life ahead of him, but also feeling conflicted, being like, I mean, I still care for her. I still love her. Like, I mean, obviously everybody wishes the circumstances were different. So I really don't think it's black and white. I think that they were acting of their age and,
yeah.
And that means that you make mistakes. Like, your early 20s is when you're allowed to make a lot of really stupid mistakes. I made a good bunch of really dumb mistakes. So, I mean, like, I understand how tough it is, and I don't know what I would do in the situation as well. I mean, I was upset with Ruby for being like, you should still be with me, like, please. But also, it's like, she's in, like, desperation mode. She has, like, nobody else. She's about to have a baby. Like, she's trying to, like, grasp onto who she finds comfort in. So, yeah. How about you? Like, how did you feel towards Noel? Because, like, we're not easy on Noel a lot of the times.
No, by no means are we ever easy on Noel. And I think where I stand is in the moment where Ruby is setting that first prenatal appointment and, you know, the doctor's appointment, she's trying to get him to like, oh, what time is good for you? Blah, blah, blah. Right.
Yeah. And he's like, whatever. And that pissed me the fuck off.
Oh, yeah. I thought Noel handled this poorly while also saying that this is a very difficult situation and like he's very overwhelmed and it's understandable that he may not have the right things to say because he's never been in this situation. And so he doesn't know what to say, but I feel like him saying the things that he said of, I want to disappear. I want to just like go away. I want to not be here. I think the problem is those are things that you either keep inside or tell your friends or tell your therapist or like confide in someone else. I think those are not the things you say to Ruby. I think it's okay to feel that way, but I don't think you should be saying those things to Ruby because you don't think she feels that way, Noel. Like, you know, like she's the one who actually is going to have to carry this baby. Like, I'm sorry, but there are certain things that are heavier on her than they are on you. And while this situation is very, very difficult, I don't think saying those things out loud to Ruby was the right move. But I think he's well within his right to be upset that she slept with someone else and never mentioned it. And I think it's bullshit, if you ask me, when Ruby says, if you had slept with someone when we were just starting out, I wouldn't have wanted to know. Mm-hmm. That is some non-fucking sense, man. Like, there's no way. And I maybe it's just my bias, but like, I would want to fucking know. I would want to fucking know for multiple reasons. One being like sexual health, right? Like, mm-hmm. if you slept with someone else, diseases, those sorts of things. But also because I feel like that's maybe her line of thinking was, well, we weren't serious, so it didn't matter. But like, it does matter. And it matters to Noel. And I think that's the thing that she's missing. It didn't matter to her, but it mattered to Noel.
Yeah.
And yeah, I don't know. Like, I understand where Ruby's coming from, but it also feels a little icky. Like, mm-hmm. she wasn't going to say anything. And like, my question to you, Sarah, is if she had, let's pretend, let's like a play what if game. What if Ruby had gone to the doctor's appointment alone? Noel doesn't show up. She goes alone. She finds out your baby is X weeks old. She does the mental math and realizes.
I mean, can she do the mental math?
One would hope.
I think that she'd be like, she would come home and be like, oh my God, no, like I had a great appointment. The baby's healthy. Like it looks like it's about like 8 weeks old. And like he would be like, Ruby, we weren't together at 8 weeks. And she goes, no, you silly bean, like 8 weeks. You know, I was around there. You know, it was such a good time. And Noel's like, no, like Ruby, like you were in California then. I don't mean to be like, Ruby, you're stupid fuck, but I still don't. I honestly genuinely think that she came into that appointment fully thinking that baby was Noel's. And it wasn't until like, I wasn't there. And she was like, oh no, like, what? And I was like, no, I don't know. Do I think that she would go to Noel or she would tell Noel? I don't think so. I really
That's the thing. And I'm not trying to say that I think you're right and that Ruby was ignorant to like, she really did think it was Noel's. But my concern is like, once she finds out that the baby is X amount of weeks old and it can't possibly be Noel's, does she say anything? I hope she would.
Do you think that she would? Like, honestly, like knowing more about Ruby.
I think she would wait a long time. I think she would wait, maybe not until the baby is born, but I think she would wait a long time during her like pregnancy. No.
The baby would be born. The baby would be like African or black or something, you know? And she'd be like, no, I didn't know that you had like African ancestry.
She's not that dumb. She is not that. I mean, she's not. She's not like the smartest, but she's not that stupid either. I don't know.
I'll stop. I'm sorry.
I'm
being very rude. I didn't mean to be.
No, I just think like, I don't know. I felt it's hard because you wanna. I don't know about you, Sarah, but like a lot of times when I'm watching these sorts of situations on the shows, I just want to take the woman's side, right? Like I always, that's just where my heart goes because it's you know, we're women and I feel like pregnancy is so obviously like much harder on women given that like it's their bodies and all of, and their everything. It's all on them. A lot of the time, the men can literally just fuck off and never be seen again if they really want to be. And so of course my heart usually sides there, but like I feel for Noel in these moments because imagine the emotional roller coaster of finding out your girlfriend's pregnant and being like, fuck, I'm so fucked, like let's do an abortion. She decides against the abortion, which is well within her right, and then being like, fuck, well now she's gonna have the baby, so like I guess I'm gonna be a dad, like I guess I better get prepped for that. And then the whiplash of like, it's not mine, but Ruby still wants to be with me. I don't know about you, Sarah, but I just feel like if I'm Noel, it's too much. It's too much for me. And I want to back out.
I think so. Like the thing is, and this is something that I've learned throughout my adult life too, is that once trust is lost in a relationship, it's extremely hard to get back. And I think that even if like I did everything in my power to try to gain back trust in a relationship where it was lost, and it never happened. And I don't know if a better person could. Like I think like even in cheating situations, like we see like plenty of times where the couples go to therapy and they really work through it. And there might be people out there that are able to get over it. And I just like, I don't know how they do it. Like I really, really, really don't. So, and
especially at this age, Sarah, too.
Oh, like, especially at this age. I think any age, but especially at this age. And honestly, like I think that there's a couple of things with Ruby that are like major red flags for Noel. And I think it's something that like I wouldn't, if I was Noel's mother, I would be like, oh, but like I would never listen to a parent. I was Noel's friend. No, I wouldn't listen to a friend.
if you were Noel's therapist, how about that?
No, like I really think it's something, a decision that you ultimately have to make on your own. Like I don't think any person in the world can tell you otherwise. It's just something that you have to realize on your own. And we already know that Noel's jealous. He's a jealous fuck. Like he was a jealous person with Felicity. This is going to turn into any single man that Ruby talks to, Noel's gonna be like, what are you doing over there, Ruby, talking to that doctor over there? It's like, and Ruby's like, well, this is just my doctor. And he's like, oh, why couldn't you get a woman doctor, you fucking cheater? You know what I mean? Like, he's not going to be able to get over it. And it's too much drama. And I mean, like, I totally understand. Like, you and I are typically very biased when it comes to women because, you know, we are women. I actively try to work towards, like, seeing a man's perspective because I really think that there are good men out there that you know, probably just don't get the applause that they deserve. But it's a hard situation, and I don't think that these two are emotionally intelligent to do it. But then I do feel bad for Ruby for having to do this on her own.
That
sucks too. The whole situation is just shitty and bad on all fronts. I mean, like, what does this mean? Does she go back to the producer, talk to him?
Hopefully at least he has money, right? Like, in terms of child support and everything.
And I think that she's keeping this from her parents because she was she said on the initial phone call that she's on her parents' insurance. However, she wants to pay by checks. So as far as I know, her parents do not know that she is going through this. Because that's where I would say it. I would say, Ruby, like, stop relying on men. Like, let's, like, rely – let's get support from your family or, I guess, your chosen family or something, if you're able to, if you're feeling comfortable to do that. Because – so, I mean, I don't know what Ruby is going to do because I promise in every being of my body that I do not know. But I do know that I think that she should not put all of her eggs in the Noel basket. And I don't blame Noel if he chooses to bow out, because that is a big responsibility to take on, to take care of another man's child, especially at that age. But it takes a really big man to be able to do that, because, I mean, like, my partner's father is like his adoptive father. And it was like kind of in the situation where, like, it was another man's child and he, like, stepped up and loved Adam like as if it was his own. And I look at Adam's dad and I'm like, you are an incredible man. Like, that is so big and great. And he, oh my God, he told me this story once and it just made me cry. Like, he was like, yeah, like, I saw, like, Adam born, like, and I was just like, this is my child. Like, this is my baby. And I'm like, that is, like, absolutely gorgeous, beautiful. Like, I loved that story. It literally made me cry. So, like, if there is men out there that feels like the call to life to step up, gorgeous, beautiful, spectacular. I just don't think that that's Noel.
No, I don't think that's Nolan Ruby's relationship either. Like, it feels like it's been kind of a little bit on the rocks anyway. And then this happened. So, like, let's pretend there was no pregnancy. This couple is not staying together more than a few more months, no, I think.
They're fighting all the time. They're bickering at each other. They're,
and a, like, baby certainly isn't going to help that. So no. I just, yeah, I don't blame Noel if he wants to back out of this. I wish Ruby had a support system. If she doesn't, I hope she does. Like, this is not something that is going to be easy to do alone without any help or support, like, emotional, monetarily, otherwise. But something that I did love that came out of this entire situation was the Noel and Ben of it all. Oh, I found this fascinating.
Like, I really did too.
It was because obviously Noel was, like, really upset when Ben first came to him and said, hey, I've been through something similar. I know about Ruby. Noel obviously, like, flipped out a little bit. How dare you? Like, that's private information, blah, blah, blah. But Ben ends up in Noel's class because basically, I guess this class is like his community service, which seems kind of bullshit to me.
No, I don't think so. I don't think it is, because I think that he still hasn't chosen a new community service. Okay. But Tony Soprano is like, hi, you have to get your life back on track. And the first thing that we're going to do is get you into some classes that are going to give you some credits towards something. So I think that she is acting as an advisor and is like, you're taking this class. Like, this will be good for you. for whatever reason. Mm-hmm. But I don't think that he chose his new community service yet.
Okay.
I do think I have a prediction.
Okay.
I think that Ben is going to wind up doing like a Big Brother, Little Brother thing.
Oh.
Can you see that? I can see that.
I can too. I definitely can. Ben seems like the type of guy who like isn't necessarily like a kid guy, but because of that, because he treats them like they're human beings rather than children,
yeah,
he's actually really good at it.
Yeah, that would be so good for him.
I could see that. And then Felicity's like, you know, panties dropping over that, you know, instantly. Sure, just immediately.
Yeah.
But they have this heart to heart, and this is all before Noel finds out that the baby isn't his, where Ben explains what he went through. And in high school, he dated a girl named Kelly. She got pregnant. He was supposed to bring her to the clinic to get an abortion, and he freaked out and he went on a snowboarding trip with his friends instead.
Horrible. Absolutely vile. Like that.
Terrible.
If my boyfriend in high school or any time freaking ghosted me in my hour of need, annihilated, I would literally burn his house down. That is awful, awful, awful behavior. Even for a teenager, like fucking A. Of course, this is stuff like this is like literally he said, like, this is like the thing that like I feel the most guilty about. Like this, I still hold on to it. I think about it. Like there's times where I want to call her and I just apologize for being a fucking shitty ass human being. And like I said, like when I said mid-20s, but like even teenagers like do really, really, really stupid things. This is terrible. So like I think that if I heard this from my partner, I think that or my friend, I would be like, that is awful. I love you, and I love that like the person that you grew into today would never do that. But I think I would be supportive of my friend or my partner about it. But if I was that girl, I would be like, there is 35 voodoo dolls of you, and I will be poking you to death and sticking you in the fireplace for the rest of my life.
Yeah, I really wish he had, because he says last year I thought about calling her and apologizing and whatever. I wish he had. And the reason I think is I think for both of them, it would be good. Like there's nothing he can do to change what he did, but to apologize for something, it feels very like a 12-step program sort of where you do apologize for your wrongdoings.
Yes.
But I do think there would be a sense of closure even for her, even if it's for her to be like, yeah, you're a fucking asshole. I hate you. I never want to talk to you again. Do you know what I mean? Like, I think there'd be a sense of closure in that. And I mean, at the very least, Ben regrets it, you know?
Of course. Maybe this is something that he can work towards. Like, maybe, like, his friendship with Noel or his work with Tony. Like, maybe this is something that, like, we come back to and he decides that he does want to reach out to that person. Or maybe it's something that happens off camera and we don't see. And it maybe it's just, like, a passing line that he makes to Noel at one point.
Yeah.
But yeah, I totally agree. I think that would be very helpful. But I loved that they like went and they played basketball together. And Noel's like, so what do I do? And like, very simply, Ben is like, oh, you just shoot the ball. Like, we're just going to just bro down and throw this basketball until we feel better. Mm-hmm. I don't know if this is what guys do, but you know, go bro down.
Yeah, I liked this. It felt like because Ben is very direct and straightforward. And like, I think like we've talked about this before where it's like, if I need to be comforted, I go to this friend. If I need someone to whip me into shape, I go to this friend. Yeah,
Friends hold different buckets.
Yeah. And I like that he's like, Ben is who I need to talk to in this moment, because he understands what I'm going through in a way that other people wouldn't. And like, he's not going to judge me for saying, maybe I don't want to be with Ruby anymore. Whereas if he talked to Felicity or someone else, maybe they would be like, how dare you? You know, you're a jerk.
Felicity would. I absolutely think Julie would.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. I think Felicity tends to be pretty sympathetic, so I don't think she would either. But I just liked that they're forming this relationship. They've been, you know, obviously so antagonistic towards one another. And I doubt this is going to last very long, but I still liked it. And I like that we're making more use of this ridiculous, like, basketball court.
Yeah, this seems like our place that we're going to frequent. I do want to touch on the very inappropriate conversation of what Noel should do with his life at the painting party between everybody that has no business in discussing this. So
yes. Yeah, let's talk about the painting party in general, because you know I love a show when they get all everybody together in one room.
It was so fun. It was really, really fun. It was one of, you know, a lot of the times I complain about, like, these people don't feel like teenagers or young adults. This felt like it. Like, they, Noel and Elena want to redo, well, actually, no. Elena wants to redo her apartment because she thinks it's a little ugly, even though they're supposed to move out in a couple of months, right? Is that what they said?
Yeah, it's like 3 months they're moving out. This is chaotic. I would never, especially it's an apartment. You don't own this place. So to, like, take down wallpaper and paint for 3 more months of living there, miss me with that. Absolutely not. I will not. Because wallpaper is a bitch to get off. Like, this is not the days of, like, the, you know, I feel like wallpaper has had a little bit of a resurgence recently where people really enjoy doing, like, the peel and stick. And maybe that's very easy to just rip off. Back in the day, wallpaper was not easy to get off. You're scraping that shit. And apparently there's like 17 layers of it on this apartment wall.
Yeah, they just keep, like, veneering it on, like, slapping it on. So she's getting her friends and to help her redo the apartment. And this is, once again, like, it feels like so teenagery. Like, when I was in high school, I had my best friends over and we were painting my bedroom and we all redid it together. And I remember when I moved back to home after college and wanted to redo my room, we had, like, all me and my four friends or three friends, we all, like, signed our names on the wall.
Oh, fun. Yeah.
Yeah. And I remember, like, painting over it with my boring gray paint, painting over the blue, but it's adorable and it was a lot of fun. And this is the type of stuff, it's like kind of like the moving thing, like, as like a 30-year-old woman, it's like really, really hard to get your adult friends to help you move boxes. Same thing with painting. Like, I can't, like, imagine me being like, hi, you know, mother friends, please come over and paint my apartment. I just reserve that for my in-laws. My boyfriend's parents. But yeah, like, it was very cute.
It looked really fun. They're, like, playing music. Sean brought quiche, which,
oh yeah, he was loving the quiche this episode.
I like quiche.
I don't.
But it's not a universally loved dish. And it's in my opinion, it should be reserved for, like, a baby shower, wedding shower, brunch. Yeah. Versus a painting party. Like, I'm sorry, a painting party, you want chips and dip, you want pretzels, you want pizza. Exactly. You want, like, you know, nacho dip. I don't know. Like,
hand food.
Yeah, hand food. You don't want quiche. No one has time for quiche. And especially, I don't know, are eggs controversial? Eggs feel a little bit like a controversial sort of food.
I think that most people like eggs. I think that I kind of dislike eggs, but, like, I tolerate eating them. You know what I mean? Like, I never am excited to eat an egg. I'm just like, I order eggs at a restaurant because that means that I can get hash browns. You know what I mean?
I really love eggs. Yeah, so
you're an eggy girl.
I am an eggy girl. I like eggs in almost every form they're in. But I understand that they're not for everybody. And so I feel like quiche is a misstep in terms of a dish to bring. But Sean, I don't care about the quiche because Sean brings the fun. He's the one who, like, turns the music up, gets everyone on the dance floor. Everyone is having a fantastic time. Listen, Sean is incredible this episode. We'll get into the Sean and Julie stuff in a little bit. But I really loved this painting party. It seemed like so much fun up until, you know, Noel does the Ross from Friends thing where he just comes in the room and he's like, hi. And it's like, okay, he's bringing the mood down. What's going on? Everyone is so fucking obnoxious with these, like, they're all gossiping so loudly with him just in the other room.
Exactly. So basically, Richard is there. Richard is back, and he's like, what's up with that guy? Like, you know, he doesn't even show up to the painting party. This is his place. And basically, he's like, you know, Felicity kind of gives the whole, like, very, very, like, neutral thing of just like, oh, he and Ruby are having problems. And then Richard's like, what's going on? Like, is it this? Is it that? And he guesses that Ruby is pregnant. And they kind of, everybody's face kind of just gives it away. And then they go into this like whole thing of like, everybody has an opinion because Elena is like, she's in the stance of like, you know, women's choice to their body, right to choose. Then it kind of gets into this discussion with Tracy, who she's newly into, about like what he would do and what he wants. And he kind of has a different opinion. Julie's opinion is very biased, purely based off the fact that like she's adopted. So she has an opinion with that. But also she's been sexually assaulted. So she has kind of different opinions about like, you know, being sexually assaulted and having to, because I'm sure she's thinking of like, this could have happened to me. Like, and what choice would I would have made, especially because I'm also adopted.
Yeah.
So it's like, you know, it's kind of like a mixed emotion for her. Richard is just like, Ruby, that whore. Like she like backed him into a corner. Like he has nowhere to go.
Yeah. Richard can get the fuck out of here. Honestly, Richard can go forever. Yeah. I feel like my thoughts on Richard have aged particularly well after this episode.
Sure.
I'm like, leave Richard. Who the fuck are you? Get out of here.
Yeah. Felicity and Ben are kind of like, look, like you don't know like the situation, like Noel's doing the best he can. So everybody has an opinion. I don't really know if Sean had an opinion besides the fact of just being like, what's Julie doing? How's Julie doing? Is Julie okay?
Yeah.
I think that is the only thing that he really cared about. And then ultimately, Noel was like, you know, you fucking idiots, it doesn't even matter what I will do because the baby's not even mine, which is very awkward.
It becomes extremely awkward, especially when then Ruby shows up and they're all like, let's get out of here.
Yeah,
let's leave.
They're like, bye, you stupid whory bitch. We'll see you later.
I'm gone. And also, Elena, can I just say one more time? I love Elena. I love her. But girl, get a better poker face. Like, if you know a secret and, like, it's obvious you shouldn't be just spreading that shit around. When Richard says, what, is Ruby pregnant? Ha, ha, ha. Just be like, no. Like, just be like, I don't know. You know what I mean? Don't just, like, be silent and make it very, very obvious that that's what's going on. It's not great, Elena. I don't like this from you, Elena.
Elena can't keep a secret. That's like point
She's
blank.
She's terrible keeping secrets.
She is just like, I want everybody's business out in the open because I don't have time for secrets. So yeah. I don't really think, yeah, I'm very firm of like, Elena is not a good secret keeper because she thinks that secrets are a waste of time. She thinks that gossip is a waste of time.
Yeah, she doesn't like gossip. And so, yeah, but she's having a great time with Tracy and we love that. But one other pairing we have to talk about that arrives at the painting party is Megan and Greg. And this was everything I ever needed it to be. Like, we haven't gotten to see Megan go like goo goo or gaga, whatever, over a guy. Never. And to have it be Greg was so funny. I was cracking up every single time we saw them on screen. The fact that she's like obviously so into him instantly and like brings him to the paint party, acts like she was going to go to it anyway. The whole thing sent me. It was so funny.
It was really, really funny. So Greg from the clinic is here and there's this whole thing with Felicity about like some of his files got deleted and he blames Felicity because he's a jerk, but turns out it's a like full-time employee of theirs and not Felicity. So he comes and wants to apologize to Felicity and Megan answers the door and instantly in love. And just to see her this smitten was very funny. And the whole interactions, it was great. Megan had a really, really good episode. She also had a really good scene or a couple scenes with Ben. I just thought Ben was extremely funny too, because he was like, what? Okay. So we know. Okay. So first of all, Megan comes into Ben and is like, what do you do asking Felicity to go on a trip with you again this summer?
Yes.
And then he goes, yeah, I'm thinking about doing it every summer as like a little bit. And I thought that was so fucking funny. Mm-hmm. And then, which by the way, we made that joke too. Mm-hmm. And then the second thing that I thought was really, really funny was like, Ben was like, hey, are you going to come to the paint party? You can like huff paint if you want. Seems like something that you would be into. Hilarious.
What do we think of Ben and Megan as like a couple?
No, zero. No, zero. Okay. No, 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 no. Fine. I hate it, Jessica. It's just okay. That does not, that will never work. But I really do like them as just like little sniping partners.
Yeah, it is very fun there. Their dynamic is really interesting.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices. Plus, extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. And up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Now, something that I feel like is being set up this episode is Felicity and Greg.
Yeah. Hate it.
Yeah, it feels like it's like, oh, she's gonna, basically what happens with them is he blames her for like deleting files on a computer. She says it wasn't her. He doesn't really believe her. She says like, you know what, with patients, you're really great, but with everyone else, you're really rude. And then she goes, have a nice day, and then leaves. I love the way she goes from like, you're really rude. Okay, bye.
Felicity.
Yeah, but it's very obvious they're setting up like an enemies to lovers sort of thing here. Where he finds out it wasn't actually Felicity, it was someone else, and they apologize to him, and he goes, I will say this is very big of him, instead of waiting for her to like come back to work or whatever a different day, he goes to her dorm and wants to apologize, saying, I know it wasn't you, I'm really sorry, like you were right, blah blah blah. And apparently also at the same time, Tony Pavone has told Felicity like there is something in Greg's history that is like the reason he is the way he is. Turns out his dad got sick at some point. That is kind of what made him wanted to get into the medical industry in the first place. And I don't know. It seems like they sort of connect, and she's going to go in and basically do overtime to help him prep for like some sort of meeting or someone's doing some review. The board is reviewing something, who knows, but they're certainly setting up a relationship thing here, especially because Ben hates Greg. So it's going to be very much like a Ben hates Greg, but Felicity doesn't understand why Ben hates Greg, but it's very obvious Ben hates Greg. She's jealous.
I think she would understand. I do, because she is like, yeah, like he's a fucking jerk to him. Like she said that to him. But
I feel like she has the very much like, oh, but I can fix him, or oh, but he's only a jerk to you. He's not to me. Like you don't understand what's beneath the surface, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Like I can totally see the things between Greg and Felicity, and I don't like it.
I don't either. I don't need this, you know? I don't need this.
I don't need this grief.
I don't need this grief. He's her boss. We've been here before. Been there, done that. Don't want it again. Second of all, in my opinion, if someone's a fucking dick, they're telling you who they are right away. You know, I don't care if it's like, oh, like my dad was sick 10 years ago and so I'm a dick because of it. No, fuck off. You're rude and you're an asshole and I want nothing to do with you. I love an enemies to friends storyline, but not when one of them is actually a fucking asshole. Yeah. And you know what I mean? Like it's more of a like, oh, they were rivals and blah, blah, blah. But
sure.
I've never had a relationship that like started out where it was like one person was a complete asshole to the other and then it worked out.
Yeah. I mean, I haven't seen that either. I mean, I'm not into it either. I think that we need to bring somebody new in for Felicity because I don't know. My watch says that it's time to do that.
Like we do.
The formula of television is saying that it's time, but yes. Yeah. I wish it was somebody else.
Yeah, I don't care about this. I'm over it. It also makes me wonder, Sarah, do we think that with her doing this community service at the clinic and probably going to be dating Greg, is there any chance that Felicity toys with the idea of going back into medicine?
No, I don't think so. I think that Felicity is going to probably continue to volunteer, which I actually do think is really, really good for her. And I just like don't think we're going to see Felicity, you know, like I don't think she's going to get back into medicine. I don't think that's something that she needs to do.
Yeah, I don't think she needs to either. Okay. Anything else on Greg and Megan and Felicity before we if Felicity and Greg do date, I can't wait to see Megan's reaction. That's the only thing I'm looking forward to in that situation.
Do you think that Megan is like, I like him, then she would stay away from Greg?
I don't think Megan would ever tell anybody she liked someone.
Mm.
She's not going to do that. You know what I mean? She's not the type to be like, ooh, I have a little crushy washy on Greg. Like she's happening.
Well, she was hilarious this episode on all fronts. Like I really liked all of this. And I think she said something like, yeah, this apartment's like always a shit show. Like whenever I just think that she was really outstanding. And I think that like my opinion on Megan has really come through in the last season. Like I think that like we've gotten to a point where like she has the perfect level of commentary,
yes,
and disdain, but also like helpfulness, but like never really helping, and being nice, but like never really being nice. Like I think that they really found the formula of Megan to where it works really well.
Yeah, I agree. I'm going to make a comparison here for those who listen to our Buffy content as well. I feel like she's a little bit of a twist on Cordelia, where Cordelia is actually a part of the group now, right? But she still holds disdain for a lot of them and still judges them and still makes quips about them. Whereas Megan, I kind of love that Megan is like, I don't want anything to do with this group. Like, please leave me alone. I don't want to be near you. You know, I'll make fun of you still. So I don't know. It's interesting because right, we're like getting through season two right now. We're a little over halfway through season two. We still have two more seasons to go of Felicity.
Mm-hmm.
And I just, in my head, I'm like, okay, how do they keep Megan involved in the periphery of all of this as the seasons continue? Right now, her and Felicity are still roommates because you were correct in that there was some sort of mix up and the RAs have to dorm together. But what are we going to do moving forward? How do they keep Megan involved in the storylines? I'm really interested to see how the show does that because I agree with you. I think her commentary, her wit, her little one-liners really, really work for me. And I would love them to continue with it because I just love Megan.
Yeah, I am curious to see if like Felicity is going to continue being an RA and what that would look like. And if Megan will be too. I can't imagine anybody continuing to hire Megan as a RA. Like she basically was like, when she thought that one of her advisees were at the door, she's like, sorry, can't help.
Yeah,
and then she was like, is Felicity there? And she's like, everybody wants to talk to Felicity. You know, you're not the only one.
Yeah, very Marsha. Felicity.
Well, I don't really think that she wants to advise. I think that she just wants the free room and board, which, you know, who can blame her?
Yeah. So that's what's going on with Megan, Greg, and Felicity, that strange triangle that potentially will happen. Let's talk about Sean and Julie, because I have to say, Sarah, I'm going to spoil a little bit of like who I think should be the winner of this episode. Sean was so, so good in this episode. I felt like he did everything correct, everything right. He has this like heart-to-heart with Julie where, you know, he could tell there's something going on, that she's like, she hasn't been herself. She doesn't really want to go to the paint party. She kind of wants to like cocoon. She wants to be alone. And Sean asks her about it, like, how are you doing? And she brings up what had happened to her last year with what's his face, the bad guy. We don't even have to say his name, that he assaulted her.
Pink guy.
Yeah. Pink guy. Thank you. And he assaulted her. And now, so this is now the second time that this has happened to her. And Sean brings up that, like, it just happened to his sister. Oh, sorry, third, right? Because something else. Yes. Well, sorry, second time on the show, third time in her character in her life. Sean brings up his sister went through something like this. And gosh, I love, love, love that Sean said, you should talk to somebody about this. I loved that so much. I feel like he came from it not with any judgment, not with any, like, I don't even think he was very pushy about it. I feel like the way in which he said it felt like, I am your friend and I care about you. And Sarah, I think something we were very concerned about was, how will Sean's feelings for Julie impact how he handles this? And I felt like it was not even a question. Like, it didn't matter. He was just looking out for her in this moment.
Yeah, I think so too. I think that he does a really good job being supportive. And I think that, like, he has maybe the understanding that, like, something with Julie might never happen, but she is special enough to him that no matter what, he wants her in his life. And I think that he was, like, being very brotherly and protective to her, being like, now there's, like, two guys that I want to kill because it's also happened to my sister. And I think that he cares for her more than a sister, but obviously at this moment she sees him as a brother. And I think that's something that she needs. And I love how this show is really becoming very pro-therapy with Felicity and Felicity and whatchamacallits, Ben going to Tony, and then Sean suggesting therapy, but then ultimately Julie saying, you know what, I think you're right. I think I do need to talk to somebody. Mm-hmm. So all around, like, seeing a show from the 90s being very pro-mental health, pro-therapy is great to see. And I think that that's something that probably a lot of people in this time needed to see. And also the fact that, like, Ben, who is, like, a popular, good-looking, seemingly normal guy going to therapy is really, really good to see in media.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right. He too is going to Tony. Obviously, it is mandatory.
It's
for
a little
him.
Forced. It's a little required.
It's forced. However, and I hope we see this. I hope we see him benefit from it. I hope we see more interactions between him and Tony where they kind of dig in to tell me about your father and your relationship with him and all of those things. Because I think you're right, especially obviously now it is. More people go to therapy. It is not seen as I have a problem, let me go to therapy. It is more of everyone has problems every single day and they need to talk to people about it. So everyone should be going to therapy. I love this. I think this is great. And I think it's really fabulous that Sean said to Julie, maybe you should talk to somebody. Like,
well, yes, that is great. But I just want to give, like, Julie the props at the end of the episode being like, I do need to see somebody and I will go see somebody.
Yeah, because that's hard, right? Like, it's really, let me tell you, when I was struggling, there have been two times. The first, I it's like a breaking the seal, right? Like, breaking the seal is the hardest part of it. The first time I realized, like, I probably need to talk to somebody, I put it off for months. I put it off. Like, I don't think I need somebody. I don't think this is for me. Like, I don't think it'll work. Like, what are they really? I feel like I'm a self-aware person. What are they going to tell me that I don't already know? There's, like, a million things you could tell yourself for reasons not to do something. Mm-hmm. And I love that Julie was like, no, I do need help. And she says, like, I thought I was over it. Speaking to Pink Eye, I thought I was over it, but I don't think I am. And I think it took the whole Eric thing happening to kind of trigger all of those feelings and thoughts and emotions that she had back then. Yeah. So props to Julie for realizing that she needs help and doing something about it. It's really hard to get there, especially, I know we talk about this a lot, but especially at the age they're at. Like, when you're in your young 20s, you kind of just feel like you're invincible. You're like, I can fucking do anything. Like, no one can
tell me
anything.
I don't know if I thought that. When I was in college, I saw a counselor. It was the first time where I saw a counselor. And then, like, oh gosh, because it was like through the school. And then they were like, we have too many people interested in going to counseling. So we need to like start group therapies, which I tried as well. And I did not like that. I was not very good at group therapy.
I don't think I would like group therapy either. And it is for some people. Like, it works for some people, but I don't know. I haven't done it, so maybe I shouldn't say, but I don't think I would like it.
It was just, I don't know. I just get a lot more on like one-on-one work.
Yeah, I'm too self-centered to want to like get the spotlight with so many people.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah. Did we miss anything? I think those are we have more like Tracy and Elena seem to be getting along. I imagine we're going to get more of them very soon. Mm-hmm. I hope we do at least because I think their dynamic is very fun.
I thought it was ridiculous that even after Greg blamed Felicity for deleting the files and him having to redo the work, and he did apologize, sure. But then she goes and is like, I will help you redo all the work. Felicity. Yeah.
Girl.
What are you, digmatized? Like,
I can fix him. Felicity is an I can fix him girly.
No.
And we don't need to fix him. Let him fucking fix his own work. He was a dick about it. Unless you're logging those extra community service hours, in which case you're getting through your community service.
Okay, well, then maybe if that's what it is.
But we know that's not why she's doing it.
No, that's not why she's doing it. I know that she did not even think about it. She was just like,
I'm the Ben. I'm Ben who's like, he's a fucking dick. Like, stay away.
I mean, like, it's one thing to be helpful, but it's another thing to be like, I don't know. She was like, I'm going to offer my assistance no matter what. It's like, what?
Girl, why? God. Why, though?
I probably would do the same, but still, not happily.
I think I would be the person where it's like, if they asked me, I would be like, I guess. But if they didn't ask me, I'm not volunteering.
You're not volunteering your time.
No, fuck you. I'm not. I have shit to do. I have a life. I'm college.
You had no life in college. What are you talking
about? I worked a lot in college.
Subway?
No, I worked at the rest area when I was in college. No, we didn't have a Subway. We had a Quiznos, though. I worked there for a little bit.
You're like, no, I know I'm
ludicrous. I wasn't a sandwich artist, Sarah.
That's the same fucking thing, a Quiznos versus a fucking Subway. You're like,
but you don't understand the level, like working at a rest area, especially one that faces both ways. Like if you're going south or north, you could go to this rest area.
Mm-hmm.
The fear and anxiety in your heart when you hear three buses just pulled up.
Okay.
The worst.
Okay.
The worst. I'm
sorry that you have sandwich trauma.
I do. It's more than just Sam. I have everything trauma from that place. But anyway, I worked at a Starbucks there for a little bit. Fucking nightmare. Mm. Nightmare. Never again would I be a barista. You had to pay me so much money to be a barista. Mm. Never again. Anyway, especially when they're like children and they're like, I want it. What are those things called? What are the ones that there's no coffee? It's like
fresher. A smoothie.
No. The smoothie like one.
Oh, a frappe. A frappuccino.
A culotta. Or is that Dunkin'?
That's Dunkin'.
You're right. It is a frappuccino. Yeah, it's frappuccino. The fucking children always wanted the frappuccinos, and they were the most annoying to make.
Yeah. You don't like the blender.
No, they're fucking irritating. And the children are also irritating. So anyway.
Well, sorry.
All right. Let's get into some feedback we have. We got an email from Sarah. And she says, I listened to your episode for The Slump and you asked why so many hate Julie.
Yes.
So we're going to get an explanation.
We would like to know. Okay.
She says, for me, it's basically two things. First, the whole deal in season one about how Julie was tired of making choices in order to not hurt Felicity. She was going to do what made her happy and date Ben. So fine. But for me, at that point, girl code is done. I don't hate Julie for doing it. But I also did not particularly care when it boomeranged back at her at the end of the season. She knew Felicity liked Ben. She knew they knew each other first. She made the conscious choice to jump into that drama and prioritize hooking up with a guy she barely knew versus becoming real friends with Felicity. So from that point on, Felicity owed her nothing, in my opinion. What do you think of that?
My only counter argument is that she could have like put together pieces, but in the beginning, she did not know about Ben and Felicity? Or
asked Felicity, are you okay with this?
She directly asked Felicity, and Felicity said yes. Like, maybe, like, she should have, like, read between the lines, because it's not like Felicity makes it unknown her feelings towards Ben. But that was our argument then. But why did we say that Julie is a girl's girl when you're right? Like, she did break the girl code.
But I think, in my opinion, she didn't, because she asked Felicity, is this okay? Yes. And Felicity said yes. And I think if you get the permission, in my opinion, the girl code is all about asking. The girl code is getting the permission, mm-hmm. and she got the permission. Felicity inherently broke girl code when she didn't get permission when going out with Julie's ex. They actually had dated at that point. Like, Felicity never dated Ben.
That's true. She just stared at him longingly.
Yeah. But that's where I stay. I mean, listen, everyone can like who they like, but she also has her second point. Yeah. She never viewed them as friends. And so Julie's nastiness at the end of the season and start of season two, please, especially when she then moves in with Ben immediately. She's the definition of, quote unquote, I get along so much better with guys. Girls bring so much drama.
Yes, that is true. Julie is that. She is that girl. That is true. And I hate
And we girls. Know, and we know based on like a conversation her and Felicity had, that neither one of them had a lot of friends growing up. Like, neither one of them had like a girl best friend.
Yeah.
And I think that that comes into play. I feel like that the ignorance of that comes into play.
Yeah. And I think like Julie, okay, so like in terms of like, oh, they never had a girl best friend, I don't think that Felicity's ever had a friend. So it's like, I think that Felicity would be a girl's friend if she like was able to make one friend. But I agree. Like, I think Julie is like, well, I get along better with guys than girls.
Yeah.
And I do hate those girls. Like, I don't like that.
I don't like anybody who's like, I can't be friends with this person because of their gender. That just feels like bad. Like, just in my opinion, it's about the person, not their gender. And obviously there are certain things that like you and I share in common that like me and your boyfriend Adam don't share in common. You know what I mean? Like, I would be like, I
hate him. That's why. No, I'm sure.
Yeah. It's because he doesn't have cramps, and cramps hurt, you know? Anyway. She continues, the whole situation just reeked for me and I never got over it, nor ever had any investment in her and Felicity's relationship, no matter how the show tried to tell me they were actual friends.
They're not friends. They're clearly not friends, and they haven't been.
No. No. I think Julie and Elena are better friends than Julie and Felicity.
I can see that.
Felicity, it seems like Elena's the hinge at this point versus Felicity, you know?
Yeah, I think so too. I think that Julie would like rid herself of Felicity a long time ago if they didn't have so many common friends.
Yeah, I agree with that. And the second thing Sarah doesn't like about Julie is cracking me up right now. The second thing is that I really hate her music.
Okay, her music is pretty bad, but it's also like very Jewel-esque.
It is.
You like Jewel.
You know what it is, Sarah? We were so traumatized by having to listen to Katie Holmes sing I feel like this is such a vast improvement that we're not as bothered.
Leaps and bounds better than Katie Holmes singing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. At least she has some talent. Not talent enough. Like, Girly is never going to sell out a stadium or an arena. No. Or any sort of concert hall in her life. She's not that talented, but she's not
untalented.
She's not untalented.
Yeah. We also, so thank you so much, Sarah, for your feedback. We also got an email from Jamie who says, this episode had a lot of new developments. So Noel is not the father, insert Maury clip, of Ruby's baby. Definitely did not see that one coming. Personally, I think it would be an interesting storyline to see Noel try and make it work with a woman who's pregnant with a child that is not his. It's not a storyline you see very often. And I think it would be much more interesting than seeing Noel thrown into another triangle with Felicity and Ben. I also really loved the Noel and Ben scenes. I always hate when shows insist on making everyone friends, but this surprisingly worked for me. And it was great to see Ben open up about his past mistakes. I think that's an interesting point, like to what you said earlier, Sarah, about Adam and his relationship with his adoptive father. It certainly isn't a story we see a lot.
Yeah. I mean, it really is the most beautiful story that I've mm-hmm. ever heard. Like he said, I remember Adam's dad was like, yeah, like even before Adam's mom gave birth, like he just like had this like connection with the baby that wasn't his. And he was like literally there to like bring Adam's mom to hospital visits or doctor visits rather, and was at the hospital when she gave birth. And he wanted to like adopt the baby before like she even like, you know, the baby was even born. And like Adam's mom was like, well, maybe you should like meet the baby first, like type of thing. And they weren't even together. They weren't even together as a couple at that time. Adam's father is just like the most incredible man. And I think like, I mean, I always think like, I would just be so honored to take like his last name to just like be a part of the family of like a man so great. Mm-hmm. I get like very emotional thinking about it because I just think that it's like such a beautiful story. And yeah. I think it's like a very like, it's very big.
It's setting your ego aside. It's like, I don't care that I don't share this DNA. I don't care about the history of it. I just want to do the right thing. And I think it's really nice to hear like the whole idea of having that bond and having that connection, especially because let's face it, Sarah, I feel like a lot of times men don't, they're not always opening up emotionally with each other. Mm-hmm. So to hear that that has happened is really nice. Like it's a nice story. You know,
there's men out there and like, there's men out there that are happy to do this and want to do this. And he has never felt any sort of way besides like, you are my son to mm-hmm. Adam one day in his life. And then that makes Adam feel like he doesn't want to be his birth father. He has zero like interest in knowing anything mm-hmm. about him because of how amazing of a father his adoptive father is. Mm-hmm. And I just like the whole story is so beautiful. So like, there's men out there that will do this. And I'm sure that there's women out there that would do this in their sorts of ways, like, you know, stepmothers or adoptive mothers as well.
Yeah. Like if we're looking at in media, right? Like it's a different sort of show, but like in Friends, when Carol becomes pregnant, like Carol and Ross are pregnant. Mm-hmm. And then why am I blanking on her
Susan.
Name? Susan. Thank you. Susan. Like, it's like they have this interesting. I'm such a fake fan. They have such an interesting dynamic, but like they're all co-parenting together. Yeah. And Phoebe says it best in the episode Ben is being born, where she says, oh, I'm so jealous. This baby has like three people that are fighting over who loves it the most. Like,
oh, yeah.
And Phoebe's perspective is exactly right. Like, you all need to learn how to get along because this baby has three people who desperately want to be in its life and be the person that loves it the most. Like, that is adorable and so lovely. Yeah. And a lot of people don't even have that in their life. Don't even have like two or one person who feel that way. So,
I just don't know if Noel has the emotional capability to do this at this time. And that's okay too.
Yeah. It's not on him. Like we're not putting pressure on him to feel that way, especially because like we said, Ruby and him were not really, their relationship wasn't going well even before this news. Jamie continues, although I'm team Ben, he did lose major points for bailing on going with his girlfriend to get an abortion. I'm glad to hear he regrets his behavior. I hope one day he does reach out to her and apologizes. Yeah,
we
totally agree with that. I'm not liking what they're setting up with Greg and Felicity. No offense to the actor, but why do they cast such lame love interests for her aside from Eli?
I need like Felicity to like go out with like a tank, like some like really hot.
Can we get some diversity here, please? Yeah.
Yeah. Like, I don't like these dweeby guys that they keep putting her with.
I think she just likes dweeby guys is the problem.
Ugh.
Yeah.
I want somebody to like throw her across the room. That's what Felicity
needs. A sexual way, not in an assault way.
Oh, yeah. Sorry. Yeah, that's what I mean. Jessica, I meant because like you're my best friend and you always know what I mean. Like,
I just need to clarify for the people.
Yeah, you're like, Sarah's trying to be a slut and not a purveyor of sexual assault.
After dating Nolan Benn, no way do I buy she would be attracted to guys like David or Greg. I will end on a positive note and say I loved the painting party and hope we get more group scenes. They're always so much fun. And I loved Megan's line to Ben about begging Felicity to go cross country with him again. Responding with the line about there being plenty of paint to sniff at the party. Exactly. We are so on the same page as Jamie.
I know, Jamie. Like, you're like the third person in this conversation. You've agreed with every point of ours.
I know. We love that. And I will, honest to God, didn't read that feedback before we podcasted. So it's not.
Yeah,
it's perfect, you know. All right, let's get into our voicemails. We do have, of course, one from Temi. So let's see what he has to say.
I'm wearing purple too, you bitch. You're not.
If I am, this is purple.
You're just blind. That's great.
This is all purple.
Great. No, the chair is actually pink.
That is not pink.
Bitch, it is. The color is fucking mauve.
So the first clip was from your coverage of Felicity Season 1, Episode 2 in November. And the second clip was from last week. Let's do a German take. Das ist auch wieder Schatz. Schatz means sweetheart, so I cleaned it up. But if you have time, Google pink and gray confusion. Maybe you can try to learn more about this. Maybe you can avoid a third argument over gray and pink slash purple.
Same argument twice.
Sarah, you're defending colors much like Miranda Priestly did for the color cerulean. How does it feel to be in the company of Meryl and Anna Wintour? J.J. Abrams, he's a director also. He directed Mission Impossible 3 that had Kerry Russell in it. Bad Robot, his production company, has also produced some of the Mission Impossible films, and it also produces the Dear Felicity podcast. That's produced by The Ringer.
Oh!
So he's actually producing that podcast. And I clocked the Skim Milk Plus cartons in Demon DeLuca and In the Loft. Is there a percentage of milk that you prefer? Do you like any of the alternative milks, like oat milk or almond milk? Was ist ihr Lieblingsmilch? What is your favorite milk? Thanks. Bye.
I love the French. Okay. Number one, I'm not surprised that we are like always fighting about colors.
And the fact that we've had the same argument twice.
I mean, that tracks too.
Yeah. And the fact that I didn't remember that.
I played Q's and Hughes yesterday.
Is this a board game?
Yes. You've played it before.
Of course I have.
Adam was like, yeah, like Jessica was obsessed with this game when we went to New York last year. But I never played it before. I don't know. I mean,
Hughes and Q's. I'm looking this up because, the box looks familiar. Yes.
He said that you were obsessed with it.
It sounds right to me because it looks similar to the game Concept that I own that is legitimately my favorite game.
So essentially, this game, it's like you pick up a card and you choose a color and then you have to say like a descriptive word about that color.
Okay.
So like, for example, like you could say Barbie and then like the board has like 200 colors and
it's
have
a gradient. Yeah.
You have to get closest to the color. And whoever's like the closest to the color that's on your card. With your descriptive words, you get points.
So a lot of it is also just like knowing the brains of the people you're playing with and how they would interpret what you're saying.
I mean, that's a good point because like we played with Andrew, who is Adam's best friend, and like they were always on the same page. And like I was like, what are you talking about? Like that is not whatever. But I wasn't that good at that game. So maybe like I just have like my own creative way of what colors are.
I also think like, okay, because you work in like a designer,
career field,
I think you have a very professional way of like interpreting color that like people that don't work in that industry may not also have that brain.
That could be true. I didn't play that game with you last year when we were on vacation together. And I was like, why? I was like, where was I? And I was just like, I don't know. I could have been I don't really like board games that much, but like Adam is a board game. He loves board games. So we play so many games.
Yeah.
So I kind of have to like games more.
You should. Concept is really fun. Did I ever make you play Concept?
I don't know. When we were together last year, I feel like I avoided playing games by like being like, I'm going to go read in this corner.
I'm going to avoid all of the competitive games.
Exactly. I just don't like competitive games. That's the thing.
We have to get back to Temi's question about milk.
Oh, milk.
Maybe this is controversial. I will drink like any milk. If I need like, I'm not a big milk drinker, but like if I need to add milk to something, to cereal, to whatever, I don't particularly care what kind of milk it is. Mm-hmm. I normally, if I'm buying milk, I will buy 2% milk because it's mm-hmm. kind of like in the middle, but I don't particularly care. I've done the almond milk thing. And I got to be honest, the reason I bought almond milk most of the time was because it lasts longer. Like right. It doesn't expire as quickly.
Yeah.
But I feel like you have more a firm stance on milk.
I think milk is creepy. That's number one.
Fair.
Milk is creepy.
I mean, you are pulling it out of the nipples of an animal.
Stop it. Can you just stop? I mean, we're not super loyal to our percentage. Like we really the milk that we have in our fridge now is 2%, but like we buy 1%. If I'm like going to Starbucks, I ask for non-fat milk mm-hmm. in my drinks. I'm like very not loyal. I'm kind of allergic to soy milk, so I don't drink soy milk anymore because my throat closes a little bit.
Yikes. just a little.
And I have done oat milk. I don't really like almond milk. What else? I do like half and half for decadent drink or creamer. So I guess I would say I just don't fuck with whole milk, which kids, like when they switch from breast milk, they usually go to whole milk. That's why like parents like buy whole milk so much.
Okay.
Mariah has to buy whole milk eventually, which is grody.
I don't have yeah. that many milk takes.
But. Yeah. Milk is creepy. I don't like the word either. I think that's like on the same layer of
moist.
Yeah. It's kind of like that.
I just don't like milk when people say milk.
I know. I don't like that either. Do you know that people in the Midwest say roof? And I'm like,
yes, I do know that.
I can't get over it. It's bonkers. Yeah,
roof is weird. Roof is not right.
It's absolutely bonkers.
Mm-hmm. All right. Let's hear what DBK has to say.
What up, though, ladies? Okay. So first off, I'm going to point out the subtle reference that I think is to help for the lovelorn in this episode. So Felicity in this episode, when they're in the health clinic, is talking to a little girl and the little girl is like checking mm-hmm. Felicity's heart. And she says that Felicity doesn't have a heart. I believe this is because Felicity got her heart mm-hmm. cut out, right? Because like we believe that heart thingy is working or should be in working order. Also this episode, there's lots of debate that I am going to stay out of about the whole Ruby and Noel pregnancy of it all. Mm-hmm. Is Noel trapped like a rat? Is Noel blameless? Is Noel to be blamed? We will never know. So what I do want to talk about is this jerk off Ben Covington. And what he does to one of my sisters, my sister Kelly out there, that, you know, he can't even show up for. We kill Noel for being in an open relationship and a drunk kiss on Felicity, but we're going to just let Ben Covington knock up girls and then not take them to the abortion clinic and go skiing with his boys and then never even call to say, hey, sorry, I bailed on you.
Yeah,
Ben Covington, everyone. Terrible. Ben Covington.
Yeah. Oh, trash.
Also, can I get a once a cheater, always a cheater for our girl Ruby Jess? I would like
to. Yes.
All right. Until next week, ladies. Peace.
I love how DBK is like, this is the man you stand.
Yeah.
Ben Covington.
Yeah. Yeah. Ben sucks. Kelly, what he did is.
Kelly Jipper. Ditcher.
Imagine if Ben's situation was like Noel's, where they go to get the abortion, and then this girl Kelly that that was pregnant is like, I can't do it. And so Ben just has a child out there somewhere. It's possible. It's possible.
It's very possible. You see that. You see that at times.
I also love the idea that all Kellys stand together. I will not stand with all Jessicas because there are so many Jessicas that truly suck so much. And it's like, you give us a bad name. You do.
I'll stick with the Our listener that called in is with an H. I stick with all Sarahs. Yes, absolutely.
All Sarahs or just Sarahs without an H?
All Sarahs.
All Sarahs.
Yeah, even that fucking bitch I went to school with when I was in high school, who's see you next Tuesday. Mm-hmm. Stand with her, stupid bitch.
Hater. Also, I do okay. While I'm gonna say with Kelly, I do agree with Kelly, the once a cheater, always a cheater, Rachel philosophy from Friends. Mm-hmm. I also think there is a little bit of a gray area with Ruby in that I don't think they had DTR'd.
Or gray.
No! Also, it's even more tragic because there's pink in our logo. So the fact that we have to have this argument, that's very pink though. That's pink, pink.
It's very pink.
Okay. But yeah, I do believe I am very much of the philosophy of the once a cheater, always a cheater. If someone cheated on me, I don't think I could forgive them. And I'm not judging anybody who can. I just don't think I personally could.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's my mentality with it.
I mean, yeah, I agree.
I could be a spiteful bitch. And I think once you're on my shit list, it's like, it is just like so hard to get off my shit list.
That is true.
Yeah. But yeah, thank you, Kelly, for DBK. I just called you Kelly. I mean, I guess your name is Kelly.
That is DBK's name.
I know, but he's DBK to me, you know?
In your heart. Also, DBK, your mic sounded very good today. Did you get a new setup? Let us know.
Very crisp.
Crisp. The peas were popping.
Nice and popping peas. We didn't get to use our set. Oh, I did want to announce though, because I feel like we played it on the Buffy podcast, but for the Felicity only listeners, we did add the sound music to our, soundboard. So if there's ever a sad moment, we could just let this play underneath it and be really sad and look out a window and cry.
They did get rid of it this episode. We did not hear it, which I am a little disappointed
in. Are you sad about it?
That's exactly what I was getting at.
Yeah. So anyway, we have that now. If there's ever a sad moment, we need to pull that out for a weekend.
Fine work, Jessica. Very I don't exciting. Know what kind of tricks you have.
I literally just did like a screen record of the scene with Noel and Ruby, which is so funny to me because there's like 30 seconds of this and no one's speaking. So that's how long that song played with no one talking.
Oh, I know. Yeah.
Like you can hear a little bit towards the end of it. You can hear like a little bit of like, like a little bit of like mouth noises. But
yeah. Was this the window scene?
It was a combo of like, I think it was a combo of them on the couch and the window scene. Cause they're like waiting for the pregnancy test or something. I don't know.
Okay.
Yeah. Also Sarah and I were we talking about this pre-pod? I think we were, that I'm starting to like really like the theme song because I like to do the Simlish version as it's playing.
Yeah. Okay. So do you, on what platform do you watch Felicity?
I now watch it on our Plex.
Okay,
our
that's friend's what Plex. I was asking because I wanted to know when you load up.
Yes.
What song is that?
I don't know. I've been wanting to bring this up, but I also like feel like it's a slight spoiler or something that I in my head I
can
wonder.
You play it? Are you able to play it?
Let me try to get a.
Basically, hold on. Jessica and I use our mutual friend's Plex server, and when you like the show goes like when you load up a episode of TV, it plays the theme song. So like when I watch Breaking Bad, it does like the Breaking Bad theme song. Blah blah blah. Blah. Yeah, when we pull up Felicity. That's the song that plays. It's not like a doo-doo-da. So it's like, what song is that? So is that, do they change the
theme? I think they change it. I think they change it because like, right, I guess if we don't have Boy Meets World on there, but that's one where they change the song like every season. So I wonder which one it would play. Like maybe it plays the most recent theme That's song.
Interesting too.
So maybe yeah. they'll change it away from the da dee da.
Yeah, I mean that will be a sad day, I suppose.
We'll have to play the sad music when they changed the theme song.
Oh no.
I'm devastated.
It is sad. Yeah.
I think I'm going to need to like get a screen record of the da-do-da's just for yeah. like occasional use, because it really sure. does make me happy, only because every time it plays, I think of Sims doing it.
Oh my God. Yeah. No, it's definitely Sim music.
Simlish. Yeah.
Simlish. Remember anyway. When we had an emergency podcast when Netflix brought back like the theme song of Dawson's Creek?
Yes, because it's iconic. And then you had the audacity to be like, I think I like the old one better.
Yeah, I did miss it actually. It was a hard adjustment for me.
Ugh. So just it's just upsetting. Oh, we still need to pick a winner for this episode. Where do we stand?
I wanted to give it to Megan, but it sounds like you want to give it to Sean.
I do want to give it to Sean, but I also really loved Megan this episode. So I think I can side with you and give it to Megan.
Okay. Cause she was also so funny.
She was funny. I'm also now realizing we did not award a winner last episode somehow. And I'm trying to remember who we liked.
Nobody. I think that was the problem.
Okay. I mean, listen, if listeners want to write in and tell us who was the best last episode, that would also be fabulous.
Was it Ben? You want to just give it to Ben?
Was it Ben?
I don't know.
Well, Noel? Let's see. You want to give it to Noel? Let's see what the listeners have to say. Well, we can let the listeners vote. That's okay. What we'll do. If you vote for who you want the point to go to, and whoever has the majority.
I don't even remember what happened last episode.
I don't either. It's been a long time.
It's been a little bit.
Okay. Do you want to know what season 2, episode 15's title is?
Sure.
Things Change.
Oh, no. I hate change. I'm not very good at change.
It depends on the change if I like it or not.
I don't like change.
So do we think this is like a pun? Like, is this like, is it going to be about money?
No.
Okay.
I don't know. It's gonna be about money.
Could be about money. You don't know.
I don't think so.
Okay. Well, that's what we're gonna be doing next week. In the meantime, check out the Buffy podcast. We're in a really, really fun run of Buffy right now. So a great time to jump on board. Of course, Stuart and I are still doing Talking Shit, where we talk about Schitt's Creek. That's been a ton of fun. Sarah has so much going on over at Whirlwind Podcast, so give that a listen. And don't forget, we're here. If you want to send in feedback, shit90spod@gmail.com. You can go to our website, shit90spod.com. Send us in a voicemail and we'll play it on the podcast. If you want to bring up shit we said last year that we forgot about, we love that because my memory is trash. So that's where you can find us. Sarah, anything else you want to add?
No, but thanks for listening.
Yes, everybody. Thank you for listening. We'll talk to you all next time. Have a good one. Bye.
Just ask. Shit 90 shows taught me.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.